preach is, I'll have to be honest, I wrote this 8 years ago for the same service back then that we're doing today. Thing is, it was a little cheesy back then. I wasn't in my full force of writing sermons and exegesis and all of that I needed to be. So I kind of touched it up, did some righteousness to it to really get it out there. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, give us the mind of Christ, that we may hear not merely with our ears, but with hearts ready to be transformed. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to get into this just a little bit. You know, Paul begins with the attitude that we need to have as we go forward in life through this. We are called intentionally to adopt the mindset that Christ had back then. Humility is not a weakness, but it's a strength. Surrender to God's purpose. That's what he is trying to get to. We need to surrender to God. Also, the mystery of the incarnation is brought up in here. Christ existed fully as God, yet chose to take human form. The phrase emptied himself speaks of laying aside the privilege of who he was and the powers that he really had and really would have throughout the 3 years of his ministry. He wasn't abandoning his divinity. He was just setting it aside for the time that his Father wanted him to use it. And then it talks about taking the form of a bondservant. It overturns the worldly ideas of power. True leadership and pastoral ministry is expressed through service, not position. All the members here are in pastoral ministry. They are in ministry to spread the word of God. And that's what he is saying here. In the obedience all the way to death. This passage builds to the cross, where obedience becomes a sacrifice. Christ's willingness to endure death reveals the depth of his divine love and calls believers to faithful obedience, even when it's very costly. So between the manger and the cross, I got the idea of this. There's no history, no anything written about Jesus from the time he went home until he was 33 years old. I'm sorry, 30 years old. Nothing is recorded except one little thing that we'll talk about in a minute. I got the idea of this sermon way back when I was teaching a Bible study class. And a little boy, I guess he was 9 or 10, somewhere in there, he asked me, why did Jesus not live very long? And I thought, well, 33, yeah, that was, you know, maybe kind of short for back then, but a lot of people didn't live that long. But he was talking about, well, when I read, here we are, Christmas, and then a couple of months later, he's dead. So, did he die that, you know, young? So I understood what he meant. He's like, okay, where's the in-between story? So that encouraged me to write this. Most of us know the bookends about Christ. You have the manger when he was born and the cross when he died. He died for us. But if we move too quickly, like the young boy did in his mind, we miss a lot. We miss a whole lot about Jesus' life. He didn't simply arrive and then die. Boom, that's it. But some people may seem to think that's it. Especially young people when they don't really understand. He lived about 33 years old. But only about 3 of those years was public. And we all know about them. They are just really standing out in the Bible, all through the New Testament. After his birth, Scripture just tells us that he returned to Nazareth with his parents, and he was subject to them. He grew in wisdom, stature, and he had the favor of God. So he had great favor growing up. But the Son of God did not rush his calling. He did not skip the ordinary. He did not avoid obedience. Obedience not only from God, his Father, but from his parents, his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. For 30 years, he lived a life probably that looked a lot like ours. Except he didn't have a cell phone or, you know, video games and all that business. He learned how to be a carpenter. He learned the trade that Joseph taught him, which was really part, if you think about it, the obedience to him. Just like a lot of our parents, our fathers and mothers taught us a lot of things as we were growing up. To help us form our future. How to use a screwdriver, something simple, you know. How to cook. How to pray. Can you imagine the prayer life of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph during those years they were together? It wasn't just a prayer in the morning, thank you, Jesus, for letting me make it through the night, and then a little prayer at supper time. No. I guarantee you, they prayed a lot every day. Especially Jesus. Because he wanted to be obedient to his Father, and he was praying daily, I would imagine, to get direction, to help God teach him to understand what it is he needs to do. And people say, well, why did that take, you know, if it's God, why did it take 30 years for that to happen? I had a pastor tell me one time, when you pray to God, he's not going to answer you right away. It's kind of like waiting for the Social Security office to answer their phone or, you know, or the IRS to call you back. You have to wait for the right time, and that prayer will be answered. And sometimes the answer is not what you wanted, and sometimes you don't get an answer, which we usually know what that means. But if you pray enough on something, God will answer you. I think we all believe that. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. It's the things that maybe he didn't like, maybe that Mary and Joseph taught him, or even what God was trying to teach him. You know, he was probably kind of like our teenagers were. We weren't like that, but our teenagers were. They were hard-headed and maybe a little rebellious. But he learned he was obedient because he knew he had to be obedient. There's no record anywhere of miracles, sermons, crowds. Of course, if it was nowadays, the paparazzi would have been there every day after he was born, you know. They'd be following him around. We would know everything. But there was no such thing back then. God was not in a hurry. And the holiness was going to be formed in his time, when he knew that Jesus was ready to go out into the world. The only thing that we hear is when he was about 11 or 12, he was out with Mary and Joseph, and they lost him. They didn't know if he had been taken, kidnapped, or if he just ran off. And if you remember, they found him in the temple. He was questioning the high priest of some of the things they were saying. They got him and brought him home. 18 more years, not a word. Didn't hear a thing. Again, we have to use our imagination of what do we think was going on. But he stepped back into public ministry at 30 years old. Acts 10, verse 38, summarizes it this way. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with the power, and how he went about doing good. Of course, he healed the sick, healed the blind, taught the truth. He lifted up the broken, and he moved with compassion throughout life. He continued to live in that obedience that his Father God and his earthly father and mother taught him as he grew. But as the years unfolded, all of that started to cost him. Just like nowadays, a lot of people were against him. They thought he was a fraud. They wouldn't believe him. So it started costing him more and more. And he tried harder and harder. And he had a pretty good following. He had rejection, betrayal. His own apostle betrayed him. In the garden, he prayed, not my will, but yours are to be done. Jesus didn't just stumble to the cross. He didn't just decide to go to Calvary for a vacation or just to visit people. He knew he had to be there. He had an appointment. That was his destiny, and he knew it. His apostles didn't know it. Nobody else knew it. But he knew it. And he knew it's what he had to do. This Lent, we slow down a bit. We walk in obedience, prayer, and compassion. There's all kind of services that we have. The road between our manger and the cross shows us how to walk with God if we just read the Bible and pay attention and pray to God and to what God tells us we need to do. Transformation doesn't happen only at the manger or the cross. Just like with us, it doesn't happen at birth or at death. But it's on that road in between those two for us. So I want to ask you, 1st of January, everybody made resolutions. Y'all still keeping your resolutions that you made? Nobody said anything. Let me ask those that have a treadmill, is it now a clothes hanger again? Hanging your towels up and things like that. But I tell you what, I learned years ago, none of that worked because I was always going to do it. I'd last maybe 2 weeks if I was lucky. But then one day, I said, you know what? I'm going to make a resolution that I'm going to study the Bible more. I'm going to read it every day. I developed a plan, and I did that for years. Still do it today. Even though I've read this before, I read it again because I have found if when you read it again, you always come across something that was like, wow, I don't remember that. And you learn more in the Bible when you read it again and again. It helped me through some very dark periods in my life that I was familiar with the Bible. I knew the Bible, I knew prayer, and knew that God would see me through all of my troubles. So always remember, on your daily road, if you just do that one thing, read the Bible every day. Pray more than once or twice a day. Pray through your day. Remember the pray unceasing? There's ways to do that where you don't have to stop and do things. Your mind works. You're always thinking of stuff. That's the time to pray. Don't daydream, pray. A lot of y'all have heard this story from me. But growing up, I was a Catholic. My mother knew I was going to be a priest. That the oldest Catholic son was always going to be a priest. I guess until they met me. It's like, no. I had a girlfriend, you know. I'm a senior in high school. I am not going to seminary. So I didn't go and broke my mother's heart. But when I did get into ministry, she knew. She loved it. She was happy. But what really made me change my life was I had this reoccurring dream that I may have told some of you about for several years growing up. I dreamed I was walking down the road in my neighborhood. It was all familiar, except for one thing. There was this big rock where I think was supposed to be a park. And I'm like, what the heck? And they had this old hippie guy, looked homeless, long hair, beard. Back in them days, you know, in the 70s, late 70s and stuff, that wasn't uncommon. And every time I would walk by, he would wave at me. I would have it two or three times a year, that same dream. But I never caught on. Until probably I was in my early 20s. And I just got out of the service. which was a very dark period. And I had that dream, and I'm walking down the road, and the guy's sitting there. And I stop, and I really look at him. And he gets up, and he starts walking towards me, but then he gets on the path I was on. And he didn't wave hi. He was doing like this. Follow me. That was my answer. That dream, that one dream, stuck with me for months. And that changed my life. It really made me the person that I am today as far as my love of God, love of people. None of us are perfect, but that is the way that we can get through life. Prayer, read your Bible. Don't give that up. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you for your words that encourage me to give this message. Thank you for all of our church members, our choir, for loving you, I think, as much as I do. And be with us when we need help. We know prayers take time, but we're patient, we're obedient, and we will wait on you. In Jesus' name, amen.